All right. All right, 1 John. Let's get there and get this going here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, 21. First John chapter 2, you there? Like Reggie Kelly, I heard him. He said, boy, that was awful weak. Yep. All right, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. But ye have an unction from the Holy One. Both capital letters there, see that? And ye know all things. How about that? I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. All right, Lord, thank you for the time together here tonight. Thank you for the songs, and thank you for the Word of God and how wonderful it is. And Lord, it's so much better when there is an unction. And the Word of God is alive and real, and the Spirit of God is working. And I pray that tonight, Lord, that you would say amen to your word as it's preached. And help me to say it right. Give us understanding tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The unction. Do you know what that is? How many of you know what unction is? Raise your hand. Okay. Since nobody knows but one or two what it is. What? Anointing. All right. How many of you know what anointing is? All right. Y'all are really, I'll bet if this was a game show, you'd participate a lot more. I'll bet if I was giving away $100 bills, I'll bet you there'd be some hands in the air. Unction. I don't trick people. I don't try to make fools out of people by getting you to raise your hand like some preachers do. I think that's terrible and it's wicked, you know. So I don't do that. So if I ask you a question, you can raise your hand comfortably if you think you know. And I ain't going to make a fool out of you. The unction is the Spirit of God, and there is a lot of significance to this. First of all, you know, that's what he says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. And that's in verse 20. Let me get my place here. See, the last verse we read, last week we talked about the spirit of Antichrist and how they went out from us, but they were not of us. And it might be made manifest that they were none of us, you know. It was a separation between God's people and the phonies and the fakes. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. It means an anointing like with oil. In the Old Testament, the vessels of worship were all anointed with a special anointing oil before they were used in the service of God. Everything had to be anointed with oil, and not just any oil. You couldn't just go down to the store and buy some oil, or from the market on the street and buy some kind of oil. It was special oil. And the oil that they used in the anointing, the special recipe that God gave them, you know what the penalty for imitating it was? Or for using it on something else besides the holy things of God? Death. God meant it seriously. There's a very important significance to it. It was just oil, but it was special. It had a significance, a special use, a holy use. And it's pointing to this, to the day when this is going to be the way it is. In our age, in our time, the oil gave a distinctive odor that identified the object and what its purpose and use was for. Now, y'all, did you understand what I'm saying there? They anointed every vessel in the temple. Everything that was used in the worship of God was anointed with this oil. And this oil smelled. And it smelled good. It was a pleasant smell. It wasn't like all this cologne everybody wears nowadays. It wasn't nothing like that. It was sweet and pleasant and distinct. When you smell that oil, when you smell that smell, you knew what you were smelling. And you knew what it meant. And you knew what its exclusive purpose was for. Y'all listening? There was nothing else like it. Nothing else like it. No imitations. Nobody dared imitate it and use it for profane purposes. The oil gave that distinctive odor, and that odor identified the object and what it was used for. The anointing with oil is what was done to signify God's blessing on a king. You remember how that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. The oil also marked the beginning of the presence of the Spirit of God. You see that? Samuel went down there and anointed David when he was a boy. And they all knew what that meant. All David's brothers, Jesse, his mother if he was there, Samuel, everybody that knew about it knew what it meant. Samuel was God's man. He was the judge of Israel, and God put him there. And he spoke with authority, and he did things with authority. And when he anointed David, they all knew that David was the king of Israel. It's a long time before he actually became the king, but from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And at the same time, the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, departed from Saul. And you can't truly know anything without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's a word that Baptists kind of avoid because the Charismatics and the Pentecostals have so abused it and misused it and distorted it and overused it and misrepresented it. But, buddy, there is a difference between anointed and not anointed. Preaching, testifying, singing, there's anointed kind and there's the kind that ain't. And what is the difference? What is that anointing? The Spirit of God. That anointing is the Spirit. You have an unction from the Holy One. And that unction is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of truth. And you can't really know anything without the anointing of the Spirit. You can't really know anything. You can know things as facts, but to know them and possess them and to, for them to have a reality in your life, the Spirit of God has to be involved. Amen. You can sit and study the Bible and learn all the facts and memorize verses and everything, but if your heart's not yielded to God and the Spirit of God has not invaded you, if you haven't been anointed, if you don't have that unction from the Holy One, it'll be dead and dry. All you'll be is religious. And church will bore you to death. Preaching will bore you to death. The very best kind of preaching, anointed preaching, will bore you to death. Because you don't have anything in you to receive it. It's just noise to you. But boy, it's different when the Spirit of God comes in. It's like I was telling you back here a while ago about Brother Junior. You know, that's what that amounted to right there. He is the Spirit of truth. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, Jesus said in John chapter 16, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. Who's not going to speak of Himself? Y'all listening? Who? The Holy Spirit of God. When the Spirit of truth is come, said Jesus, He's not going to speak of Himself. So when they make big of the Holy Spirit of God, they're missing the whole mark. You know, all these Pentecostals and Charismatics and some Baptists, they make the Holy Spirit first. And they seek after the Spirit and they look for that. No, no. Jesus Himself told us right here that when He is come, He ain't going to speak of Himself. Here's what He's going to do. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Jesus also said that when the Spirit was come, He would speak of Him. When the Spirit of God is really there and present and working, Jesus is going to have the preeminence. The Spirit of God will put Christ in the light. The Spirit of God will lift up Christ, not the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the anointing. What makes it real? What makes it real to your soul? It's the Spirit that gives life, that quickens and makes it alive to you instead of just blood-dead religion. If that's all you can feel tonight, if that's all you can understand, you just need to realize that you need the Spirit of God in your life. How does that happen? Well, it happens when you yield your heart to God. It's something that really does happen. God gives you something real when you get saved. Now, a lot of people try it over and over. You know, it's not unusual at all. In fact, it is most common for people to come again and again and again before they finally get it. Don't ever discourage people from coming. Here's one preacher that'll never, never, never try to get you to rest your soul in something you did years ago at an altar or whatever, in some prayer you prayed. If there's no evidence in your life that you're saved, you're not saved. I don't care what you prayed. I don't care what the preacher told you. I don't care how many shouted when you was baptized. You got to have something real in you. And that reality is this anointing that He's talking about. Baptized by the Holy Ghost. It don't make you speak in tongues. It just makes the truth real to you. Makes Jesus alive to you. Makes this thing vibrate in your soul. Yes, sir. We're listening to the man who wrote Henry talking on that. He said, he described the soul. He said the pygmies described the soul of man as that little man inside. And it makes that little man inside dance all over the place. That's what it does. Now, you may recognize truth without the Spirit of God, as opposed to error. You might recognize truth and error. Well, that's true, and that's not true. You might be able to do that without the Spirit of God. That's no big deal. You can't really know, though, the truth without the Spirit of God. It's one thing to know a fact. It's another thing to know a person. To know a person is to know a lot more than just a fact or to know that they exist. You see? Just because people say, well, I believe in God, that don't mean nothing. The devils believe and tremble. I believe there's a higher power. Well, you ain't nowhere near the kingdom of God. Just believe in that. But when you know God, that's a whole lot different than believing there might be one somewhere, somehow. Who knows? The problem, you know. And here's the thing. It doesn't mean that something is done to your natural abilities to give you a supernatural abilities to understand. That is not what the Spirit of God does. He doesn't do something to you physically or any way to change you so that you have abilities that you didn't have before. You know, the problem with the lost is not their ability to understand. It's the blindness of their heart. It's not that they can't understand. You know, I was talking to the preacher over there. I mean, boy, he wanted to talk and not a hard label, but he was talking about, you know, getting people to understand. Just, I said, well, preacher, they do understand. A lot of them do understand. They just will not yield. That's the problem. They know. I know people. I've got people in my family. That nobody, they know all how it is. They know all the truths, all the facts. They know how everything is supposed to be, but they won't yield to it. They won't come under. Yeah, amen. Their problem is not knowing. You're never going to be one to God, and nobody else is ever going to be one to God intellectually. You, me, nobody else. No matter how well you study the Bible and get your plan down, you can't go out to somebody and just give them a plan and give them a recital of facts and make them understand and get saved. That ain't how. It ain't an intellectual deal. They can understand all the truths and die and go to hell. And many, many people do. They never have it. They never possess it. God never possesses them. The devil does. A lot more devil-possessed people in this world than everybody thinks. Don't necessarily make you do the things they show in movies and stuff and everybody thinks. You're devil-possessed if you don't belong to God. Amen. There you go. Now, the presence of the Spirit of God enlightens the mind so that things that may have been known by him before are now seen in a new light. Boy, encourage me over there. Aaron was telling your mom. He said, when I got saved, Aaron, if you had just known. He said, when I got saved, it was just like the whole sky lit up different. Is that what he said? It was just like everything was just looked different. I know what he's talking about. It really does. That encouraged me to hear somebody talk like that because that's speaking of something real. I was laughing about it because Aaron, he was the meanest little kid that ever lived. And he was so ornery. And he would be up there with them and Miss Owen would say, go bust wood, Aaron. And they'd send him to the wood pile to bust wood to punish him, you know, because he was mean. So he'd be out there busting wood, you know, when he's a little boy. And now he's out there busting. He said, you tell Papa that I'll take care of the wood. And he said, I'll take this job. Darlene said, no, you can't tell him that. You can't tell him you're going to take that job. You just tell him that you're going to do it until he gets better. And then just do it. But anyway, that the presence of the Spirit of God enlightens your mind. See, it ain't that you can't understand. It's that your mind and your heart's blind, darkened. And the Spirit of God brings light and you can see. It was there in the dark, but you knew it was there, but you couldn't see it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The presence of the Spirit of God enlightens the mind and they see the beauty of truth and they're attracted to that which they were not attracted to before. And now this is a great difference between people who have an unction and those who do not. This scripture tells us here that there were those that went out from among us because they were not of us. You remember that last week? We talked about that. There's people that went out from us, but they were not of us. That's why they went out. They weren't one of us. They didn't see things like we did. They didn't understand things like we did. They didn't agree with us, so they left. These people surely knew the truth and claimed to be saved as the rest of them. But they didn't have the unction. Now, have y'all seen that through the years? You been around enough to see churches split? Have you been in church long enough to see people come and say they get saved and sit there and say amen and take part in everything and then all of a sudden turn and they're gone? What happened? What's the deal with that? They go to some other church and say they're saved, but they never agree. They never see. What is the deal? They ain't. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they were one of us, if they saw things like us, if they agreed with us, who's us? The real people of God, the real people who have an unction, who have an understanding, who see things and who know that it's real. Those that leave, they leave because they don't. They say they're saved. They say they understand, but they really don't. And their life proves it. Because when I've watched it through all the years and it happens the same way every time. People do not leave a church where the Word of God's being preached and go out there and join some other church and live more holy. That doesn't happen. When they get mad at the preaching that is anointed preaching, they go out there and they live lower every time. That ain't the Spirit of God. That proves the absence of the Spirit of God. They go right on saying, well, I'm saved as you are. You can't tell me I ain't saved. And I know I'm going to heaven, and I know I was saved because I remember the place. But they live wicked. They're not. I mean, we're going through this, and the Bible says over and over, people like that are liars. If you get real with God, you're going to live right. You're going to stop that filthy living and that filthy talking and that filthy thinking and looking and messing around. Do you really believe that? Or you got somebody that does that and you just can't believe they're not saved? Hey, I've got over that junk. I don't care if it's my own children, if it's my wife, whoever it is. I believe this. If you don't live for God and you can't do right, you're not saved. And I ain't going to try to make myself believe it anymore. I don't care what people have done in the past. I've seen people be in church for years and years and then go right out into sodomy and everything else. I've seen many of them do it. I've had people that went with me to preach on the street who are sodomites now. Do I think they're saved? No. I've prayed with them. They've prayed with me. I've seen them do all kinds of spiritual things. I've sat in church with them while they cried and testified about how good God's been to them and how thankful they were for this church and all these people that, I mean, brought them in on the bus and all this, and they're sodomites now. Do I think they're saved? So it don't matter what you think. Well, that's what you think. I'm telling you the truth. I know what the Bible teaches, and it does not teach that at all. Ain't going to be no such a thing. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither fornicators or adulterers or abusers of themselves with mankind and blah, 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 blah. They're not going. It doesn't matter if they've been saved and baptized 100 times. That ain't salvation. Salvation delivers you from sin, and that ain't all it does. It gives you an unction. When you're saved, there's something real in there. There are those who know about things of God, but only with an intellectual understanding. And then there are those who know and understand, and the effect on their lives and their interactions with others there is a lot different than that. There's those people, and then there's other people who know and understand, and boy, you see a difference in their lives. People who have the unction do not tolerate lies whatsoever. God hates lying. Y'all know the Bible says that? He hates a lying tongue. God hates it. So if you get God living in you, you're going to hate lying. You ain't going to put up with it. You know, I've told you this a lot of times, boy, you raising children, that's a main thing right there. Boy, you better burn that out of them no matter what you got to do. You better make sure that they understand that lying, buddy, is the death penalty around here. I'll beat you till you don't know what side's up. You better tell the truth. And you better do it while they're little enough and inexperienced enough till you can read it on them. Because a little old thing, you know, come and lie to you, you can tell right off they're lying. But they get better at hiding it. The more you let them get by with it, the better they get at it. And so we hate lying if we have an unction. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. He's commending these people because they know that lying ain't got nothing to do with the truth. I've said it before, but when we were on the mission field, I had other missionaries tell me to lie at the border. Lie. Because you just have to sometimes. I've had preachers tell me, you know, that sometimes you just got to lie in order to get God's work done. No, you don't. God ain't going to have no part of that. God, I knew enough back then to know better than that. I said, there ain't no way. You can't lie and expect God to bless that. God don't need us to lie to get His work done.
God works through truth, not lies.
And you know that no lie is of the truth. The testimony of the Spirit and in our soul to the truth makes whatever opposes it, exceedingly abominable. Once you know the truth, and I don't mean just know it as a fact. I mean, once you know, become acquainted with, become intimate with the truth, everything that ain't true is going to stink to you. When somebody comes up and mixes a little bit of a lie in it or falsehood or guile, it's going to be abominable to you. The testimony. Now, the anointing makes the truth the delight of your soul. Rejoiceth charity, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6. Now, those who have the anointing of the Spirit of God are convinced for good. Now, y'all going to listen to me. Let me read this again here. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. Verse 27. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Now, you get the message of that verse? People that have this unction, they've passed over into a different realm. They're not going anywhere. They're not going to go out from among us. You ain't going to do that. No. That doesn't happen. They have found the truth and can't be seduced by the lies of the world. You know? See, that makes it real important. See, it bothers me because everybody's messing with the world all the time. You're going to get deceived, and the world's going to draw you away, and the world's going to lead you away. Not if you get the Spirit of God in you. Y'all hear me? Once you really get it, there ain't no need to worry about you going out. I was talking to a preacher over there, and he said, he said this, and I've said it to people. I've said it to my kids. But he said, you're going to have to understand that I'm not searching trying to find my way anymore. I'm settled and established. And I'm standing on firm ground. God has put my feet on a rock. I'm not wobbly and wondering and still full of questions and doubts and wondering how it works and how this is. I know. And I'm settled in it. And you're not going to shake me. And I'm not worried and concerned of whether I'm in or not. The Spirit of God, the unction of the Spirit does that for you. It's not presumption on our part. It's just what God does for us. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Yeah. And everybody that's born of God has the testimony in himself. There's something in you that says, I'm in. I'm in. I'm a child of God. He's accepted me. You do. You know that. And you become a part of the family of God and you feel comfortable over on this other side. Where what before you is over here looking in and saying, you know, that's nice. And you wanted in, but you didn't want in. And you always hold them back. Now, there's something happens. And you change sides. And you're in. And you're comfortable and happy about it. And glad to be a part of the family of God. It'll be a great day for you when you're persuaded by the Spirit of God to believe the Word of God. When you quit struggling to believe and just believe. I saw a thing, I think today somewhere, it was a deal. It said the atheist says we're lying when we say there's a God and all of this. But he can't tell us why lying is wrong without taking our view of things. And Reggie Kelly said that atheists are the biggest fools on earth. Well, they are. They're intellectual fools. Stupid, he said. He used a lot of other words. But, yeah. When you give up on trying to find some man who can convince you, and you look to God yourself. Oh my, I know people who I wonder if they're ever going to stop doing that. When are they ever going to just look to God? Yeah, you will not need. Now, you have, and you need not that any man teach you. The anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. I don't mean that you don't need to learn from other men, but it means that you don't lean on men anymore. I mean, you got God yourself. You're not trying to find God and have somebody help you find God. You found Him. You don't need nobody to show you the way anymore. You found it. And you're in it. You need not that any man teach you. What you need is the Spirit of God to enlighten your soul. And that'll only happen when you yield your life to Him and stop resisting Him. Let me read you a couple of verses here. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him. Now that's important. And He in us. This is how you know. See, 1 John's full of these things of how to know that you're saved, to know God's real, to know that you're in the right way, because He hath given us of His Spirit. So then this deal about His Spirit living in it, it's real, ain't it? It's a real thing. It ain't imagination. It's not emotion. It's not some evidence like, blah, 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 blah. Ain't that a way?
Right.
What was that? Jeff Clemens, we listened to him on the way home, and he said, that's number uno. He said, that's my gift of tongues right there. Number uno. One word. Because He had given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. There's something happens in your soul. There's something there that wasn't there before. It really is. It really, really is. It's noticeable to you. You're the most shocked person of everybody on earth when you realize there's something different here. There's something in here that wasn't there before. The blind man could see. He said, I don't know who he was, but all I know is I was blind and now I see. I can see. Been blind all of his life. I'd say when you've been blind all your life and never have seen and all of a sudden you can see, I'd say you would know that something has happened. That's the way it is when you get saved. You know something's happened. Because it's all different. So those verses there, that was 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. It's by His Spirit. That's how we know. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you are not in the flesh. I know you've heard all your life. We're in the flesh, this old flesh. It ain't talking about your body. The flesh, when the Bible refers to that, it's a state. It's a state of existence. It's either carnal. You're living a carnal life. You have a carnal mind. You're concerned with the world. Or you're walking after this. You're led by the Spirit of God. People who are saved are led by the Spirit of God. People who are carnal are lost. There's no mixture. Ain't no half-breeds. Ain't no carnal Christians. Ain't no worldly Christians. That's right. It's like old Billy Mitchell said, if that's true, then there's heavenly devils. There's got to be. If there's worldly Christians and carnal Christians, then there's heavenly devils. That's some kind of half-breed nonsense monster that somebody made up. The Bible is crystal clear that you can't have it both ways. You're either carnal, and that's death. That's unregenerate. The definition of the word means unregenerate. Look it up.
But they say, well, you got all these carnal Christians. No, you don't. You got lost people sitting there calling themselves Christians. And they ain't got a word in the Bible to back up such nonsense. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ, I'm reading in the same place in Romans chapter 8, verse 8 through 11. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. See that old flesh? You're calling this body the flesh, and it says right there it's dead. If Christ is in you, it's dead. That old man is dead. The old man is crucified with Christ. I can't help it. The body's dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, so if it does, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So do you understand when Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, or Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, when he said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Do you understand how that works there? If the Spirit of God dwells in you, your body's dead because of sin. But it's really not dead because Christ lives in there. And your body what does it say there? What did I say? Will quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Quicken means to make alive. When we baptize somebody, that's what the picture is. That's the reason for baptism. It's to show. It's a sign, a picture that you've died, you've been buried with Christ, and you're being raised anew. You're saying that it has really happened in your soul and in your life. That you have crucified the flesh and been crucified with Christ and be risen with Him again, though with new life. And where's that new life? What is it that quickens your body and your life? The Spirit. That unction. We have an unction, an anointing. We have the Spirit of God. Changes everything and makes it real. You can't be a Christian unless the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's right. There's not spiritual people or spiritual Christians and Christians that are not spiritual. All real Christians are spiritual. Therefore, your first step is a step of faith. Well, you can't understand completely and really know all things until the Spirit of God makes His abode in you. And therefore, your first step is a step of faith and not a step of knowledge and assurance. You don't get saved on just knowing things. You can't just know a few facts and get saved. That's not how it works. It's by faith. You have to believe God. And you step out there on faith, believing God, not because of what you know. And because you've got it all intellectually put together and figured out in your mind. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. One more verse and I'll quit. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Ye are the temple of God. Back in the Old Testament, they built the tabernacle, Moses and all of them. Then they built the temple. Solomon built the temple for God, for His name's sake, and all of that. But now, in the church age, since Christ has came and all the mystery's been unveiled, where's the temple? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. And if you defile it, God will destroy you. That's what the Bible says. No, yeah. If you defile it,
Your body belongs to God whether you're saved or not. Your body becomes the temple of God when the Spirit of God moves in. When that little man inside quits fighting and says, "Okay, Lord, it's yours. Come and possess what is yours." And the Spirit of God floods into your soul. Makes all things. Okay, let's stand. I know it's hard on Wednesday night and everybody's tired, but this is awful good. I know that it's right. I know that everybody ought to be knowing this and hearing this, and so few are. So few are. You ought to count your blessings that you're one that is. Amen. Let's bow. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for the reality of it in my soul. Thank you that I know some other folks who understand this also and that it is real. Lord, I know tonight there's some here tonight that don't. I know. And I pray you'd help them, Lord, to understand. And Lord, to yield. Because that's the key. It's not that they need to know and understand all the facts. They need to yield their heart to Thee and open up their life to let You come in. And the Spirit will make it real to them. But they have to trust You. Pray You'd help them to understand that today. Pray You'd help those that do know to rejoice in this. And pray You get us home safely now. Bless the rest of the week and guide and direct our lives. Help us, Lord, with all that's going on. Help us, Carolyn, Friday night to be a blessing to some folks. Lord, help us with the Christmas program here Sunday night. I pray the kids at all, You'd help them and that they'd do a good job for You, to honor You. And Lord, pray You'd meet the needs of those that are sick and suffering. And Lord, help us all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody got a word real quick?